In the grim darkness of gaming in the second millennium, there is only console wars. But thankfully, you've got the Sega guys to keep those spirits high. I'm Dan the Mega Driver, and while my loyal War Master James the Segaholic enjoys some time with his newly expanded family, for this episode, I've got the pleasure of my fellow Shiro bro, the Dark Prince of Pleasure himself, it's Pat Trainico. Pat, good to have you back on again. How you doing,
good
bud?
To be here, and good to be here, and good to be here with my my lovely demonettes and seekers, and then my lord, my keeper secrets in the back there, you know, just vibing.
Just vibing. We should know where your loyalties lie.
Exactly. Slanesh's life.
Exactly. That sounds like heresy to me, mate. But what have you been up to?
Pretty much just like I said, I've been pretty much every sort of. I've been actually doing a lot of 40K stuff, so. Please don't know that one of the big things I am into in real life, on top of Sega Saturn, is 40K and Warhammer in general. I've been trying to get into the old world and trying to play that. So I've been doing a lot of that. A lot of paying for my Chaos Demons. A lot of paint, wasted a lot of money, but you know, it's a it's a lot of fun to paint up my little demonettes and demons. But yeah, besides that, it's all going well with me. What about you?
Yeah, all good. It's been busy. Channel's been crazy, and it's
getting a lot of hits.
Getting a lot of hits lately. It was a bit slow for a bit, and then we had this other second purple patch. So it's been busy, and then, you know, with us being part of the Shiro group now, it makes us closer together. So we're
I'm glad you're on board.
Yeah, I think people can expect more of this, more of you and us, more of us on you. Channels,
you
on I mean,
you, us and me, all of us. You as I, and we are all together.
Exactly. But yeah, as you talk about Warhammer there, and that is the subject of today's discussion. So we're going to be talking about Warhammer, principally Sega and Warhammer. And I've just kind of broken it up into kind of three things, talking about Warhammer and Sega consoles, and then Sega's kind of love affair with Warhammer. I think they've been kind of in bed with Warhammer, both classic and 40K, for about 10 years now. And I think it's still going, and then what the future
holds. It's more
holds.
Closer to 20 years though, with all that other stuff. I guess if you don't count them, THQ doing the Dawn of War games. It's been, I guess, about that time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because we'll get onto that one, because obviously Dawn of War 1 was, yeah, that was what, over 20 years ago, but wouldn't have become an actual Sega game until Sega bought them in 2013, but. We'll get onto that, but I suppose for anyone that's not familiar with Warhammer, I suppose the first question that they might be asking is what is Warhammer?
You might be
best positioned to explain some of that, Pat, given that you are, out of the two of us, you're definitely the expert.
I would say expert hesitantly, but I do appreciate it. But basically, the thing is that, so I've been into Warhammer for, oh man, I'm like 12 years. I started off playing the tabletop RPG Black Crusade back in 2012, I think, is when I started playing that with my friend. He got me to that, and I was like, I really wanted to do D&D stuff. So we don't do D&D, but we do the Warhammer version of it. It's like, all right, let's do that. So my first thrust into it was 40K. To be fair, I've known about it for quite a while before that. For those that don't know, I played Yu-Gi-Oh back in the day, like for tournaments and stuff, and the shop I went to had 40K stuff there, and like the old world, which I think was the coolest little old world models, the guys skirmishing on the tables with the movement trays. And I've always been a fan of them, but it was always, I'd love to try that. It's like, oh, it's $100+ for like a starter set. And if you want to get into it, you have to put them together and paint them yourself. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I thought they came pre-painted. So I was like, I'm gonna stick with my Yu-Gi-Oh! So I played that. My friend got me into 40K a couple years later. They talked about it all the time. They're a bunch of 40K nerds, so they got me into it by proxy. And I've just been and I got into the tabletop about 2 years ago. I play multiple armies, but I guess my history of it, I guess to explain the game, it's really hard to describe. Basically, there's two universes. There's the Warhammer Fantasy, well, technically three now. There's Warhammer Fantasy, which was the original game by Games Workshop that came out in, what was it, the late 70s, early 80s, I think?
Yeah, late around 70s, I think. Yeah,
I think around
40K
that time.
Was, yeah, because 40K was the 80, early 80s, I think.
Yeah, late 80s, mid 80s, like Rogue with Rogue Trader and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's and then around 2009, GW was like, wow, we really want more money, and Warhammer Fantasy is not doing as good as 40K, so we're just gonna kill it completely, make people's armies useless, and pretty much just spit on our fans. And that was the first, like, boot on the neck with that. And then they came up with Age of Sigmar, which was pretty much 40K, except in the fantasy universe. So you had Stormcast Eternals, which are totally not Space Marines, essentially, which are everybody's favorite. Everyone loves those Space Marines. You had the like I said, and it just was sort of a whole reboot of the franchise. But I'm not really that well versed into the lore of the fantasy stuff, but I'm more 40K, so I'll try my best. I'm just getting into fantasy now, but essentially the way that it works is with fantasy, I believe, just like a bunch of skirmishes, a bunch of kingdoms. So it's like the Empire Man versus the Force of Chaos and stuff of that nature. I'm probably butchering that, so sorry, GW fans. But basically, the whole war, it's hard to describe because Warhammer is like it's loaded, like because it started off as a tabletop game. Am I making sense with that stuff, or I'll be
Yeah, I
not
mean
too off track with
it.
that?
Yeah,
It's just a lot, you know.
there is an awful lot because yeah, it started off as a tabletop game and it's kind of evolved into multiple different kinds of tabletop games. And the thing is, it's like the classic stuff. It's obviously high fantasy. It's at a very high
Yeah.
level. It's a high fantasy themed tabletop game. The more you dig into the lore, the more complex it gets. And I think the thing that you see a lot, not so much with the Sega games around Total War Warhammer, but if you can dig into the other media, you've got kind of the classic fantasy setting, but then you've got like the classic, what you're talking about before they decided to just kill it off. You've got a bunch of stuff like Vermintide and a bunch of other time stuff that's tied into kind of the end times, which is kind of
It's weird.
when it's all going like just about to end. And then obviously, as you said, you've
Chaos
got the
wins.
ages.
Spoilers. It's weird. Ch
Yeah.
chaos literally wins. That's the ending of Warhammer Fantasy. It's kind of funny and kind of weird. It's like, oh yeah, chaos just wins. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh yeah, by the way, enjoy having not having any armies to play. And pretty much they were just like, I don't know if like I just like censor my middle finger up, I guess, it's one of those things. Just like one of those to the franchise. But I guess lore wise, I guess since we're probably more focused on 40K, I guess the background lore of 40K is essentially yeah, it's like the 41st millennium. Everything sucks. Like literally all there's only war. It's literally in the title. There is only war. That's the tagline of 40K. But essentially there's this giant dude named the Emperor Mankind that lives on this golden throne, and by live I mean he literally is just like a skeleton that's being kept alive by sacrificing 1,000 wizards or psykers in the universe a day to keep him alive. And essentially everything sucks. Everyone's having war with each other. There's the forces of chaos that hate the Imperium, want to kill everybody. There's the Tyranids that want to kill everybody. There's the Imperium, which is the Imperial Guard, the Space Marines, the blue Smurf looking dudes. There's the Blood Angel, sorry, the Blood Ravens. But GW was like, I'm not killing those things off. And then there's Xenos things like the Eldar, which are space elves. The
Or the
Drukhari, which are
Eldari,
the
as they're known now.
Eldari, the Drukhari. The Astra Militarum, which is Imperial Guard. They named it these things so they could copyright it essentially.
Yeah,
But
that's it.
getting on the brass tacks, the theme in the universe is everything sucks. Everyone hates each other, and everybody's at constant war, and everyone's a massive xenophobia against each other. And then there's the orcs just vibing.
Yeah, so the orcs. I love the orcs in the 40K universe because
They just want to
they
do
are
some
just
crumping.
they just want to they're just free spirits. They're brilliant in it. And yeah, I think the funny thing about 40K, I say funny, it's like if you go so deep into the lore, like, and I want to get onto the when we get on to talking about some of the games later on, the Space Hulk, Vengeance of the Blood Angels manual makes me laugh because of how le high level it is. Because you can go surface level and it's fine, but the more you go into it, kind of the darker and darker it gets. It's like the theme behind 40K is like we advanced to the stars, we started exploring, and then it all just went to complete shit, and there was catastrophe after catastrophe, and then we
Yeah, it
kind of
literally
lost
just everything
everything.
sucks. Literally everything just sucks in this universe. There's nothing good about it. Like literally, there's literally zero that's good about it. Unless you're an orc, it literally sucks for everyone else. All you do with orcs is you just want to do a crumpin' and then that's it.
It's probably worth touching on the idea of the warp. Kind of the warp is got subspace. That's how they managed their interstellar travel. And
Yeah.
it, you know, they started using it millennia ago, and it was dangerous, but the more they've used it, the more it's become not just this sort of subspace, but this accumulation of essentially bad vibes, isn't it? It's like every negative piece of thought and energy is manifested in this world.
And this is where my
Maybe.
good buddies come in too.
Yeah.
My good demons from the warp.
Yeah, these chaos gods and demons that are born from, it's like Slaanesh, who I know is a favorite of yours. He was born from the Eldar, kind of the elf light race.
They
They're
partied way too
overindulgent.
hard.
They partied way too hard. It's just overindulged, and that's why he's the Dark Prince of Pleasure, which I think is absolutely brilliant as a character. I can see why you like him.
Yeah, I love the Slaanesh has always been my favorite like god deity. Like I just love the whole hit fast and hit really like multiple times, like really hit numerous times. Because the way that it works is like Nurgle's slow but really tough. Khorne is moves fast, moves kind of fast and hits hard. Slaanesh is hit moves really fast and then does so many hits and just like multiple hits. And then Tzeentch is just like shoot magic at people. Those are the four gods, by the way. Slaanesh, Khorne, Tzeentch, and then Nurgle.
Yeah.
Nurgle being the rot god, Khorne being the god of being angry all the time.
Yeah.
Tzeentch, which is the god of fate and choice, or just like the god of like, basically magician stuff. And then of course Slaanesh, which is the god of excess. Not just pleasure, but like excessive love, excessive hate, excessive other unmentionables. As you could tell, they're very what's this direction? Promiscuous, my
Yeah,
friend over there.
hence all the tongues. And it's interesting that despite constantly being at war with everything, not just outside of warp space, you know, primarily the Imperium of Man, but obviously they'll come into conflict with other Xenos races as well. But they, as far as I understand, they all hate each other as well in the warp
Oh
and
yeah,
fight
everyone hates
for.
everybody. Literally nobody likes each other. Like I think the closest like ally system is just the Imperium, and that's really like questioning ally for the Imperium is like everyone kind of hates each other. If you're like intercepted by some people, that will just straight up kill you on sight if you happen to be around a demon. It's kind of messed up. Like the whole universe is not good. I think the only one that's really morally like good is probably the Tau, which is another Xenos race, specifically the Farsight Enclave, which is like the branch out of the Tau, which Tau are like a sort of a more like a, I guess more of a commune sort of thing, a caste system sort of thing, and they're more like for the greater good of like their race and stuff like that. It's a whole thing. Like I don't want to get too crazy into it because the lore of 40K is like we could literally spend the entire thing talk about the lore of these races. It's just
Yeah.
so if you really want to break down a 40K and not have to read through a Wikipedia article or 100 books, there's a series online called If the Emperor Had a Text-to-Speech Device. I don't know if you've seen that
I've
series.
not seen that, no.
Basically, it's basically a I guess a cliff notes of it. It's basically if the Mechanicus, which is the basically the mechanics of the 40K universe, gave the God Emperor Mankind, who cannot talk, who cannot interact, a text-to-speech device, and he's asking what's going on with this unit. It's like, oh yeah, this faction fought with this faction. Your son pretty much messed up the warp, and oh yeah, one of your sons got viciously murdered by your other son. And there's this theme of the sons doing messed up things, but yeah, that's essentially the theme of it. A bunch of his sons pretty much mess up completely and pretty much doom the universe, or
Yeah.
become crazy chaos gods. Or Dice
With
Demon Princes, more like it, I think.
yeah,
And
it was all
technically.
yeah, technically some of them corrupted by demons, corrupted by the warp, because it's like you say, we could go into this, we could spend multiple sessions talking for hours about
Yeah, 40K is
the
really
lore.
complex, but I definitely recommend if you guys are interested in checking out the series, watch that series. It's really funny. It breaks down all the lore of 40K really well, and while it's joking, a lot of them is pretty much like a like an on the nose sort of thing. Like, oh hey, the Tzeentch guy just messes with people. The Slaanesh dude just like a creepy weirdo, so that sort of thing. So it really keeps in lore of how some of these characters would act. Oh yeah, and the custodians are all male strippers. So that's not lore accurate, by the way, but I mean it might as well be.
And the another fun one that I was watching was a YouTuber called Lutin. I'm not sure how if you've heard of his work, but he's got a huge playlist of 40K lore, which I was going into. Some of the videos are like an hour, 2 hours long,
Yeah, he
and
does some stuff on
there's
Chaos
hundreds.
Gods.
He covers most of the stuff. He covers like right back to the like if you watch him in chronological order, it goes right back to the like the formation of the universe, and it is entertaining because there was I think I was 3 episodes in, and he was like, and the entire universe was on the brink of destruction, and things would only get worse. I was thinking, how could they get worse?
Oh, they do. They do. Also. Yeah, also 40K is known for retcons, so if something doesn't make sense, it probably got retcons. Like, I think for one example, the Krieg, that's the gas mask looking dudes, umbrella looking dudes of the Imperial Guard, they originally just had numbers, but they got rid of that idea because it was stupid. So now they actually have names now. So things do change. I know the big thing is the female custodes controversy thing that came up. Like that, like I said, the lore changes constantly, so it's like you cannot be surprised or upset if it does. But yeah, like I said, if things change or like sort of morph, it's just normal 40K lore, normal 40K, every day of the office. So
Yeah, it's part of the nature of it, isn't it? Is that because of it's everything so fragmented. I mean, you've got formerly colonized imperial worlds that have been detached from the Imperium for years, so everything's kind of hearsay, and that's how they get out of it, is that it's nothing is set in stone. Makes it a little bit frustrating sometimes when you get those sort of retcons, as you say, but it's an absolutely fascinating universe. Obviously, all these wars makes for some interesting games. So yeah,
exactly. You
we'll
should probably jump right into that.
jump into a few of those if we haven't lost our some guys with us being 40K nerds.
Yeah.
So we'll start off with going into kind of the past. And when I say the past, I mean Warhammer games and Sega consoles, of which there hasn't actually been many. But there was a couple of cancelled ones that I thought we'd just touch on, see if you heard of these. There was an Aspect Warriors game that was scheduled for the Sega Genesis back in the 90s. I'm not sure if you've seen anything of that, but it sounded really
No.
cool. You're playing as the Aspect Warriors, fighting who are Eldari, as I understand it, and they were,
Oh
you
man.
know, it looked like it was like a horizontal, sorry, a side on like shooting game. Looked really cool. You've got all these Eldari in their suits, like battling orcs and chaos wards in these screenshots. But yeah, sadly, it was like EA were publishing it, and that and 20 other games were cancelled, which is a shame, really, because it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think that's what bums me out about some of these games I canceled. They all seem to be ones that aren't like Space Marine focused. And it's like, really? Like, literally, there's so many damn, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I know I'm talking bad about Space Marines, but like, I mean, I can't, I mean, I do play Space Marine things. I got, my Empress Children Noise Marines, and I got like, my Thousand Sons dude that I have for my army, little Thousand Sons Armin. Like, I'm harsh on them. It's just that there's so much Space Marine stuff. It's insane. I know it's the poster boy, but like, it's cool to get stuff like, oh, hey, they had a Tau game for the PlayStation 2 where they had, an Orc game or something like that. It gets really tiring to see Space Marines consistently. It's like, come on, guys, you got more than one. You got more than one. One race in that game. We can't do like an Orc thing or like. Maybe some demon stuff. Like, come on, dudes.
I know. Yeah, because the Space Marines are kind of ubiquitous, and that's what makes not so much the Sega games. You get some games like the games, one of the 40K games that I like is Darktide, and you're obviously you're playing as kind of the
Oh, I
Imperium
love
then, but you're,
Darktide.
yeah, Darktide is absolutely amazing. Love that game, but
We
you're
need to play
obviously not playing.
together. I didn't know you played that.
Yeah, like if you, yeah, we need to play together. Definitely need to play together. We'll have to hook up after this then.
I'll get my I have my Krieg guys. I tricked them out all as the Krieg stuff. As soon as the Krieg DLC went out, I bought that immediately. I'm a sucker. Like I saw, I was like, okay, I'm buying the Krieg stuff. So because I'm a massive fan of the Death Corps of Krieg, which is the Imperial Guard guys. This is actually
Yeah.
my modified Lord Solar. I put a Krieg head on him. It's kind of hard to see with a thing, but yeah, I love Krieg. That's my favorite army. I have my tank, even my tanks painted that way, like my little Rogal Dorn. Which is probably my favorite tank in 40K is the Rogal Dorn tank. Well, besides the Bane Blade, but that it's the Bane Blade. So I mean, for God's sakes, man, it's the Bane Blade. Who doesn't like the Bane Blade?
Yeah, it's
11 barrels of hell, baby.
yeah, because obviously in Darktide you play as you're basically just you're not Space Marines essentially. You're working for the Inquisition, who've like you were in prison at the beginning, so
Yeah.
it's a little bit different. You're still playing as the Imperium, but and I suppose it's more marketable if you play as humans. But it is a shame that you don't have games focused on the other races. Because Aspect Warriors would have been great. And the other council game that I've got on list is Gorkamorka as well, which looked, God, that looked like a load of fun on a Dreamcast. Have you
Likely we
seen
have a
any of
Switch
that?
successor with the
Sorry?
new. We got a new one with the Speed Freaks coming out.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Yeah, it's a new or game. It's called Speed Freaks. I don't know if it's free to play or not, but I played the open beta of it. It's an Orca like a combat driving game. It is so much fun. It's like an online shooter. Highly recommend checking that. But I saw a little bit of the footage of it. It did look really cool. The original on the sorry the Dreamcast copy.
Yeah.
The version of that, I look so cool. Like I said, it annoys me that GW does, like, the companies do is like, literally, please, anything but another Space Marine game. Please, for the love of God. But I think they got better with that, especially with the Total War games and like the Dawn of War games, where you don't have to play as Space Marines. You can play as anybody, God, anybody else, please.
Yeah, I didn't know that about Speed Freaks. So I'm gonna have to check that out because that sounds a lot like what Gorkamorka was aiming for, because it was just, orcs driving around blasting the crap out of each other and just those guys just having a good time.
Exactly. That's what I love about the orcs. My best friend plays orcs. That's his one of his pleasure his big pleasure armies, his pleasure thing is playing the orcs. I can't get into them because it's like a big dedication thing. I'm not a big orc guy. Like I play the tabletop. I play a couple races. I play, Thousand Suns, Emperor's Children, Imperial Guard, Chaos Demons, and then I play Tau as well. I don't play them as much. I'm probably not gonna play them as much. Not really. Wasn't really feeling it. I did play Necrons at one point too, but like I said, I kind of want to stick with the Chaos Demons. I love the demons. Like they're just so cool. I look the evil guys and like look at this guy's got a giant sword and four hands. Like I mean, like is if that's not cool, I don't know what is. What is to please you? I don't know. But hopefully it's Slaanesh because they will be doing a good job at pleasing you.
Well, because they've got some of the best designs, haven't they? They're so I mean, all the characters and figurines are so intricate, but I love the chaos designs are just so cool because they're just so different and so imaginative, I think.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of like the demon stuff, and I've been always the side of the chaos stuff. I only play one Imperium army, and that's just the Imperial Guard. But Krieg is just so cool; it's worth it. Like I love Krieg, and I love playing Guard. Even when I get my ass kicked, I love playing against Guard. Like I got my ass kicked today. I played a game with my friend, and he kicked my ass with Guard. It was a pretty close game, but he kind of almost tabled me, and I was like, I gotta see my girlfriend, so I'm gonna, you know. I'm gonna call it. Maybe we might have a match, but I'd rather go see my girlfriend right now.
Oh, brilliant. So talking about games that did actually come out, so we got one in the end. That one Warhammer game that did come to Sega consoles was Space Hulk Vengeance of the Blood Angels, which we have both played. And this one was a sequel to a 1993 PC game. It was
Yeah, I remember
based
that.
on the 40K board game Space Hulk. And it came to obviously came to Saturn, PS1, 3DO, PC. I think this is a really interesting one. It's quite funny. When I looked at this game as a teenager, when I first saw kind of the box art and everything, I thought like the Space Hulk was either that, you know, you look at the case art and you see the big purple thing at the top and you see the guy in the red armor. I was like, which one of these is the Space Hulk? And it's actually neither of these. The Space Hulk is actually when
The
you get into
giant ass rock ship.
the so Space Hulks are essentially.
I thought the same thing too. I was like, is that the dude in the giant armor?
Yeah, which one's Bruce Banner? But yeah, so these are the this is obviously, as we touched on earlier, these are ships that got lost in the warp when, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of years ago, when humanity were exploring the stars, and they've come out of warp space completely derelict and ripe for exploration. So in this instance, you're a chapter of Space Marines called the Blood Angels, and it turns
The good
out
old Sons of Sanguinius.
Sanguinius, tragic story behind that guy. But
Yeah, he got stabbed in the face, dude. He got killed. He got murdered by Horus. He got killed. Like he
it's
ain't like the he got Uncle Ben. He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. He got stabbed in the face with a giant sword. That dude ain't coming back. Sorry, dude. Sorry, Blood Angels fans. If you somehow get your Primarch back, he ain't coming back. He is dead, dead. Like a lot of people, like the thing is that all these the Primarchs, the chapter leaders of all the things like the Ultramarines, the Blood Ravens, all the other ones, they have like a Primarch. A lot of them will come back. Like they had a Robute Gilliman of the Ultramarines. They actually had recently what's his name? Lionel Johnson of the Dark Angels come back. No, Sanguinius got murdered. He ain't coming back. He is dead, dead. He got stabbed and confirmed and massive murdered, which is
Is
funny to me
it,
because I hate Blood Angels. So,
is it the Blood Angels that have to relive his death or keep seeing visions of his death over and
oh
over?
yeah, that's I love that about that lore about them. Essentially, basically, what happened is that they had this thing. I think it's called the Red Rage or something like that, or Red something. I
I
forgot
can't remember what it's
exactly.
called.
Yeah, it's Crimson Range or something like that, Crimson something. But essentially, they essentially get madness to the point where they see Horus, the dude that murdered their Primarch, and they just start yelling, "Horus! Horus!" And they murder everybody in range of them. Like it's insane. But yeah, that's their big fun lore piece is that they get triggered by their Primarch getting massive murdered.
It's funny because none of that is touched on in the manual. You get like a single page saying it's the 41st millennium, and you know this is humanity or exploring the stars under the auspices of the Emperor. A psychic so powerful he's essentially immortal. Doesn't say anything about the fact that this dude is basically a lifeless husk on life support. But
Oh,
yeah,
it's called the
so.
Black Rage. It's the Black Rage,
It's the
sorry.
Black Rage. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't touch on any of that. So it's interesting how deep the lore goes and how high level it is for like the purposes of this game. But yeah, you're the Blood Angels. You're investigating this Space Hulk that comes out of warp space, which, as per the dialogue in the game, it's not just a Space Hulk. It seems to be several Space Hulks all kind of stuck together, doesn't it? And
Yeah,
that's
pretty much.
And it's filled with these filled with gene stealers who
Steal your jeans.
they
There's no there's
yeah
you there's no denim in the
yeah
41st millennium. There's only war and there's no denim.
if you walk onto the Space Hulk with a pair of Levi's on, you're not leaving with them.
You're not leaving with anything, son, but no, joking aside, the gene stealers are from this race called the Tyranids. That's a pretty much what's if you ever watched that movie with the bugs and the what's the name? Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
It's like the bugs from that one. Or if you play like if you play Helldivers, it's the bug the bugs in that one. So it's essentially those sort of races, like a sort of hive mind bug race, or Zerg from Stargate, Stargate, Starcraft. Essentially, and it's this offshoot of them. That's their race, the Gene Stealers. They're meant to actually be really heavy hitters and kill Terminators, which is the main force that's put on these Space Hulks. And I guess Terminators are another example. That's pretty much the strong armored Space Marines. in a nutshell. It's hard because you bring those like Terminators. What are Terminators? Well, it's like that's the 40K. It's like a huge explanation because it's like, oh God, there's like 25,000 things to explain. And there's so much lore behind it. Everything, there's so much lore with
I
everything. That's funny about that's what I like about it though, is that you could literally hyper focus on the races you play in 40K and know nothing about the lore of anybody else, and it's fine. No one will judge you, nobody cares.
Yeah, it's just an absolutely enormous amount of lore in there. Because yeah, because I wasn't too familiar with kind of the Terminator aspect, because I had to kind of look that up after playing this game. But it's interesting because they're Space Marines in what they call Terminator armor is how it's described in this. But it goes a lot deeper than that, doesn't it? But yeah, there's you play as a Terminator or a squad of Terminators going onto the into the Space Hulk, and there's definitely an alien kind of or aliens sort of vibe in here as well, isn't there? The way that your motion tracker goes off, you hear the beeps
Pretty much, yeah.
when they're coming towards you. But yeah, it's an interesting game. First person, it's a first person game. I couldn't say it's a first person shooter, even though you're first person, you do shoot, but it's
It kind of
very
reminds me of
tactical.
Tom Clancy's original Rainbow Six, like the first game.
Yeah, it plays a lot
You
like
played
that, doesn't
that.
it? Yeah.
Man down, need some
Yeah.
backup now. Literally every I suck at I sucked at that game. I suck at this game too. I just want to point that out. This game, I'm garbage at this game.
It's extremely difficult. So yeah, if you go in and just go, say, right, I don't need to do training or anything, I'm just gonna go and play the game, you will get absolutely murdered before you get out the first corridor in the first mission. You'll get your whole team completely wiped.
Yeah.
So I had to. That's the reason why I looked at the manual on Sega Retro, is because I thought, well, right, what the hell am I doing? And that's where the manual talks you through the first tutorial mission. It tells you how to set new directions for the rest of your squad and how to complete objectives, etc., and how to kind of leave the zones. And then yeah, I did the tutorial sections. Took a couple of attempts, but got through those and thought, yeah, I can. I'm all right now. I can go and play through the campaign. And oh my God, it is absolutely brutally hard. And if I've got footage playing, it's probably me dying over and over again.
You're out of Terminators. Bye.
Yeah.
It's like great. The things that you think you got them all down, it's like, okay, got them all of them. Then suddenly you see the beepers, like two of them is like, oh
Yeah.
great. And you just get ganked by a bunch of gene stealers. And it's a one-hit kill thing. Like it's like one hit and you're dead by the gene stealers.
It's frustrating because you've got a life bar on the top left of your screen. You're like, all right, well, how many hits can I take? Well, one. And when you get caught in kind of you can shoot them from a distance and you watch them all explode in a bunch of limbs and blood, which is pretty cool. But when they get close, you've got your gun and you've got a parry and you've got a grenade attack, and you have to press the right button to kind of fend them off. And if you I fall into the trap of just hammering A, but that's not how you're meant to do it. You're meant to like look at their animation and then kind of counter to that. But it's so tough.
Timing
In I
is
think
really tight on that game.
yeah you've got a split second. I think in the first missions you just play you kind of just play one Marine, and I think a lot of the rest of the other Terminators seem to do the objectives for you, I noticed. So I just kind of just hung around them and let them save me. But it does get really tough.
Yeah, no, I've barely got through the first day. It is pretty tough game. I never actually played the board game, sadly enough, but I think the closest I played is this thing called Boarding Actions, which is kind of like a Space Hulk sequel. It like came out like last year or so. It's okay. I didn't really play it much, to be honest, though.
Yeah, I've never played the board game myself, but I think James said that he played the board game.
They
I
have those really
think it's
cheesy 80s ads in the UK of the Space Marine, like the weird arm looking armor. It's pretty
yeah.
funny.
It's quite funny how the armor's changed for this for over the years for it, because the Terminators in this one are quite dumpy in the way that they look.
Squat little dudes.
Yeah. And now that they've evolved and they look like they're kind of Gears of War characters almost in
They've still
modern
got their
design.
Mickey Mouse ears, luckily enough,
Yeah,
so
they have.
it's they got those at least. But yeah, I'm like I said, I don't play a lot of space marines in like the tabletop. I always play like the traitor ones, the Chaos Space Marines, because they're cool as shit, essentially. But yeah, they're really cool. I like the Terminators. They're actually one of my favorite units in the tabletop game. They're a little bit more tougher than that, though. Not last edition. Last edition, they're pretty garbage, but this edition, they're pretty good. And ironically enough, the Gene Stealers in this edition are not that good against them. Ironically enough, like Gene Stealers and the I guess the equivalent of so usually if you want something good, it hits and it wounds on threes. Like if you have to roll a three and above to wound it. And this game, Gene Stealers wound Terminators on five, so you have to hit five or above to wound them. So like they're definitely not as strong as in this game where they one hit kill you. But I mean there's a bunch of different discrepancies in lore and then like in the actual tabletop just to make it balanced.
I think we probably need to rebalance that in this game just to make it a bit more manageable
A
because
little bit, yeah, a little bit more balancing.
yeah, but it's I think it's quite a visually impressive game. Obviously there's a bit of a short draw distance, but I think that helps with the atmosphere. You can barely see like in front of you, and then when the Gene Stealers get up close, they look they're so it's like they're really high resolution for full of time kind of characters. They're disgusting, but I think they're well animated. They look great just as they kill you. But it's a very cool atmospheric game, a lot of content as well, because it actually has the scenarios from the original tabletop game in there. And I think it has all the scenarios, obviously not the campaign and the story itself, but it has the levels from the previous game. So there's a lot of content in here.
Yeah, and like it's a lot of fun. I really think for people that want to play that and don't have any friends like me, I think it's a good option to play it. There's also a newer one that they have. I think it's more based off of the board game. It's like I think it's a mobile game. I don't know if it's still out or not. It's like another Space Hulk type game, but that one's supposed to be actually pretty decent as well and pretty excellent from
Is
what
that
I
Space
understand.
Hulk Tactics?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that came to. I've seen that on PS4. I think it came to kind of modern home consoles as well. I've not played it. I saw it. I think when I was looking for art for kind of the thumbnail for this, I saw it, and it's obviously the Terminators are obviously in the modern designs, and the Gene Stealers are look a lot more agile and menacing in it. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. I can imagine it plays quite differently to this one. I do think that the first person view in this one is quite immersive, really fun, really adds to the atmosphere. It's
It
just so
definitely is
difficult.
scary.
It's if you think about Alien Isolation, it was Creative Assembly that did that, wasn't it? Be good to
I
see what
believe
they could
so.
do.
Wasn't that also a Sega game?
Yeah, that was a second game, yeah, because
That's
Sega
ironic,
own
yeah.
yeah. Because that's a brutal game. That's a brutally difficult game
I need to play that one. I love scary games like that.
it's tough. And that's kind of the same. The alien will one hit kill you. Be good to see if Sega could do a modern version of this, because as I say, the concept's really cool. And I definitely recommend anyone who likes first person games, challenging kind of strategy games, I think they should definitely try this, because it's I wouldn't say it's an all-time classic, but it's definitely a very enjoyable experience, and definitely has a great atmosphere and vibe for it. And if you've got, any interest in 40K, I think it's essential for if you're a Sega fan.
Yeah, as long as you like Space Marines and specifically Blood Angels. I'm just joking. I just wish they had more like chaosy stuff. It seems like it's only Gene Stealers in this game, right?
Yeah, it's just the Gene Stealers, so it
Because
gets
I
a little
know,
bit repetitive.
yeah, because I know in the board game you could play like as other races, like you play as CS Chaos. Sorry, I need to make sure I don't use 40K slang because I don't think anybody knows CSM, EC, DG, stuff like that, which is CSM. Empress Children, Death Guard. Like I keep using that slang. You could play as Chaos Space Marines. You could play as like I think you play as Eldari and then the and also Tyranids. So there's options in the actual board game. It
Yeah,
sucks that you
no.
can't play those. And I think also demons as well.
Yeah, I think for this one, I think it's driven by kind of, imagine on PC, it was like a display-based game. So I imagine they were held back by kind of memory, etc. So
They can have like a bunch of
less.
like animations of, oh, punching you.
Yeah,
The space screen
it's even
punching you,
like,
Gene Search.
yeah, I think you get on PlayStation and Saturn, you get like some decent intro, like FMV intro, which is quite good for explaining some of the lore behind it. Just enough that you can get with the game. But then when you get to like when you play the campaign and you get to the opening, it's just basically like a still with about 3 frames of animation that cycles and the voice going over the top. So I think memory was a constraint here, which is why you've only got the Gene Stealers and the Blood Angels. But yeah, it's definitely a great look. I've had a load of fun playing, revisiting it lately. It's frustration as frustrating as it can be. It's still brilliant, still atmospheric, and yeah, great fun.
It's a great game. I definitely think it's still worth playing, even though it's tough as nails. And it's like definitely really worth playing.
There's not much else like it, is there? The
Not
closest
really,
is
no.
probably, as you say, those old Rainbow Six games before Rainbow Six basically became like Halo or Call of Duty, and when you actually had to think about what you were doing with your squad of players, it's like those original Rainbow Six games, but there, yeah, it really isn't anything else quite like it.
Yeah, no, there's really nothing like this game, and it's a lot of fun. I do think I probably prefer Rainbow Six over it, but I do think it's a really great game, and if you are good at it, I just say get good at it, and you probably have a little bit more fun than we probably did.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. All right, now we're going to move. I say this is the present. Obviously, what we're talking about now is basically
Present-ish.
the present-ish 20, the last 20 years of games, but more focusing on the last 10. But little company called THQ owned
Never heard
or
of them.
published. Well,
Just joke.
it's funny you say that because. Obviously, THQ went under, but before they did, they published games from a company called Relic. Relic made a number of 40K games. So we had the Dawn of War 1 and 2,
Some of the
and
best ones,
Space
yeah.
Marine. Yeah, they're all of them excellent games. The Dawn of War 1 and 2. And we'll get into kind of the games themselves and a bit, but they were like strategy games. Space Marine, which came out in 2011, is a third-person action game, a lot like kind of Gears of War. Loads of fun to play. But THQ, they went under, and Sega decided to buy all the rights to the Dawn of, well, all the they bought Relic, and with them all the rights to the Dawn of War and Space Marine games that Relic had made, as well as Company Heroes and a bunch of other stuff as well. So it's quite funny when you say I've never heard of THQ, because I bought Space Marine for like the, just to refresh my memory on it for this discussion. Put it on my Xbox 360. It came up splash screen with all the logos, THQ, Games Workshop, etc. Then the big THQ logo comes up, goes into the game, press start, need to update. Updated it on the 360, it reboots. Splash screen comes up, but it looks like someone's literally done a Photoshop job and cut out the THQ logo, stuck Sega's in there, and so instead of THQ's logo in the next screen, Sega's one pops up, go the old whoosh, Sega. It's like, who THQ, who are they? We've just wiped them from history. This is our game
R.I.P.
now. This is our game now. And if you go into, I think if you buy the game on digital stores for Xbox, it still says THQ. But if you go into Steam, all of these games are now Sega games. They're kind of the Sega games that aren't, because they're made outside of Sega, but now Sega now owns them, like Thanos,
Technically
I guess.
speaking, now we talk about them because they're Sega
Yeah,
games.
that's right. And they're great Sega games as well, aren't they? And I think,
Quite good. I mean, besides Dawn of War 3, but I mean, what are you gonna do?
yeah, I think we can touch on the four games. Obviously, there's the three that were bought that were made before the Sega buyout. So Dawn of War
Yeah.
1, fantastic game. Played a lot of
Excellent.
that. It's kind of like a, probably 18 or so years ago, but it's fantastic. Reminded me a lot of kind of stuff like kind of Total Annihilation to a degree, Supreme Commander, that sort of game, because you have like your command, your kind of commander sort of character in there, And if he dies, then that's kind of the end of the battle, really. But it goes around kind of the whole base building thing. There's a few different races in there as well, isn't there? I mean, it's primarily the
There's a lot of them in that one.
especially if you
And
get the
then,
expansions.
yeah, because I know Tau is a big one in there. It's one of the ones that you actually rarely play those games. I know Necrons are in there as well. The things that there also was a mod called the Apocalypse mod, which adds a bunch of other good con all cool content. So
Yeah,
there's
you were
a
telling me
lot.
about that. I
Really
didn't
good
get a
mod.
chance to try
Recommend
it.
that. It's really
So, what
good.
does
Like I
it
said, there.
do?
Yeah. Basically, it's just like it adds a bunch of different. I think a couple of races. It adds some units that recuff. It does some like bouncing, and I believe it adds like the ability to just like have the map, have more people on the map, have more stuff on the map, so it like increases that supply stuff. So it's really fun. I've seen some videos and stuff of it, but yeah, there's a lot of different races you'd play in that one. Compared to two, they got rid of a bunch of stuff, like a few races, and they kind of polarized it in a way.
Yeah, so two is an interesting one. I haven't played two that much, but that one, it kind of moved away from kind of the base building, didn't it? From what I remember and understand, it was a lot more
Yeah.
kind of, I say, kind of Warcraft 3 like.
It does. It's Warcraft 3 minus the base building. It feels kind of more close to the 40K board game. You get objectives and you get like these capture these points. And it's a point-based game, so you have to get to the point limit, like the 2,000 points or whatever, how many points you get, and you win the game. So you just like send in units, you like get supply. You pretty much order units like, oh, hey, you can unlock this tier and get these characters and so on and so on. It's more like that. And there's also stuff called Last Stand, which is where you play like a hero character and you fight waves and waves of enemies, so and stuff like that, which is another fun game portion of that. Me and my friends still play that to this day. Last Stand's
Oh,
still a
dear.
lot of fun.
Oh, brilliant. Because it's a bit more like Company of Heroes then, which is obviously Relic's other series, in terms of setup, I think, then in that respect.
I believe so. I think I keep getting Company of Heroes mixed up for Full Spectrum Warriors, what's where it's like a XCOM like game, I believe. But I think that's Full Spectrum Warrior, I
I think that's
believe.
not, yeah, I think that's Full Spectrum Warrior. But yeah, Company of Heroes is, I think
I've
it
never played
sounds
Company of Heroes,
similar.
sadly.
Yeah, I've not played an awful lot of it, but it sounds similar. But yeah, it's quite interesting how Dawn of War 1 and 2 are quite different. They complement each other, and I think you can enjoy them both. Dawn of War 1, I don't know if there's any mods to, is when I was playing it again recently. It's still stuck in kind of 4x3 mode, which is
Yeah, I think
okay,
the
but
Apocalypse mod would fix that.
does it? I need to get the
Yeah.
Apocalypse mod then
Yeah,
to fix that. But it's still quite an impressive looking game for its age. And yeah, I think if you can get some more units on screen as well, it's a lot of fun anyway. It's got a cool campaign. It's great in multiplayer if you love your strategy games. I do need to play a lot more of Dawn of War 2 though, because I never got as much of a chance to play that one back in the day, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun.
it's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's a different style of gameplay, but I kind of like it. Like I think it's a lot of fun. I've actually never played one, but I've played two a lot. I do want to go back and play one though. I feel that's quite good.
Yeah, and obviously it's dirt cheap these days, the first one, if you get on digital platforms. I think Sega had a sale recently. They had like, you going through their Steam sale, they had like seven games that they were selling, and like a bunch of the add-ons and stuff. So Sega's still milking that Warhammer cash cow.
Hey, I mean, hey, it sells. Honestly, the thing is that GW has really been like liberal with giving its licenses out. And honestly, a lot of the games that they're coming out with are more hits than misses. Like a lot of them are really, really good. Like that Speed Freaks game, amazing. Darktide. I mean, Darktide got some hits, but it's still a pretty solid game. Pretty really good experience.
It's
Vermintide, really good.
Vermintide 1 and 2 are fantastic.
Yeah.
Vermintide 2 especially when you got all the additional content on there. And then yeah, Darktide was, I think it had a bit of a rocky launch on PC.
Yeah, they
But
had to
when it
redo a
kind of
lot of it.
yeah when and it's now it's in a really good state now. It's fantastic. I mean, the Vermintide and Darktide games, they're essentially, and I know these aren't Sega games, but they are 40K and Warhammer. It's classic Warhammer is the is the Vermintide games, and then Darktide is the 40K one.
Yeah, I kind
And
of yeah, I was gonna bring it just to talk about like how good the 40K games are, where it's like you can't really go like even like the big ones I heard are really good. Like Rogue Trader is apparently really
yeah,
good,
I've not
and then
played
the
that one.
Mechanicus games are excellente.
A bolt gun is one that I've got on my list to play as well.
Ooh, that
I've
one
not
was
played
sick
that.
too.
Yeah, that's a proper 90s sort of Doom Quake shooter game. Done in that classic style. It looks absolutely nuts. So yeah, I've downloaded that. It's on my list to play pretty soon.
Apparently, it
But
ties into a Space Marine too.
does it?
Yeah,
Oh,
apparently,
okay.
I forgot who the character was, but it ties into the Space Marine game. So if you want more of that, that does have tie-ins to that.
So that kind of brings us back over to the Sega games, Sega-ish games. Space Marine, obviously produced by Relic and published by THQ in 2011, and then part of the Sega. As I said, this one was where I saw that THQ were removed from existence on the title screen by Sega in 2013. But Space Marines are, and again, and I know obviously it's Space Marine focused, it's in the name, but it's a really cool game. I think they made a lot of the right decisions in terms of design. It definitely feels like kind of Gears of War in the 40K universe, with some interesting mechanics in it. I love how you can kind of replenish your health by, stunning enemies and doing those execution attacks on them, and just turn them into pools of blood while you're replenishing your own. And It's pure 40K, but with like dude bro Space Marines. It's fantastic. They're just like a bunch of
Yeah, the
badasses
guard does stuff too, kind of, not really. They
it.
kind of shoot stuff. They do things. They're Imperial Guard dude people. But yeah, like I really like the game. I remember when I first came out, I was like, "Oh, great, another Gears of War style game." And the thing is that around that time, I mean, it was about the time that style game was fatiguing really badly.
Yeah, it
Like Gears of
was.
War 3 came out, and it was good. Like I like Gears of War 3 a lot. But I think everybody was about done with the Gears of War style of games at that point. So I didn't really play it until like years later. And actually, it was really good. I really did enjoy it. The story is really 40K-ish. I wouldn't use the, I don't know if good would be the word that I would use if you're not a 40K fan. It's a 40K story that's good, but I wouldn't say, but it's a silly game. It's a silly game. You fight a bunch of orcs, and then you fight Demons of Chaos and like all these other dudes. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? I mean, it's a bit kind of cheesy in a way, the way it's presented. I think it is very much really trying to tap into that Gears of War crowd, the way that it's done. But if, as you say, it was fatiguing. I remember after Gears of War 3, I was like, oh yeah, I am done now. And then what's the prequel that came out for Gears?
Oh,
Can't
that one
remember the
is
name.
Awful Judgment.
Judgment, that was it.
Oh
And I was like,
God, that one
yeah.
is horrible.
I don't think it's that bad, but yeah, it's not as good as the other ones. And to that point, I was the same as you, Pat, when I was just like, I think I'm done with these sort of games now. But this one is really good. Probably one of the better ones. So it's definitely, if people are into that sort of game, it's definitely well worth checking out. And the story's okay, it keeps you playing through. I didn't play too much of the multiplayer aspect on it, but I know people do play it.
Yeah, apparently it's pretty fairly popular. Still, a lot of people still are hopping online, apparently. At least that's what I've been seeing. But yeah, honestly, a lot. What's really hype about that game though is that, especially it's kind of funny you meant fatiguing. There's actually a sequel coming out that's coming out in 2 months from now,
Yeah.
on August 9th, on September 9th. And I know that date exactly because it's when my friend's birthday is. Who's a big
Oh,
40K fan, so
it's perfect.
he is so pumped on that. So he's getting that for his birthday. So he's mega excited. We're all mega excited. And honestly, I don't know. The 40K stuff is coming around because apparently that's coming out. And then the new Gears of War prequel is coming out. It's like, ooh, Marcus and Dom. I'm like, I'm on board for that, baby. Let's
Oh, absolutely.
go.
It's quite interesting that Space Marine 2 is coming out so soon, because that isn't a Sega game, and
It's weird, yeah.
I feel like it probably could have been or should have been, because it was last year, wasn't it? We had that news where effectively Sega was like, well, the whole European arm isn't performing, the European arm being, part of the
Relic.
sports inter Relic, Sports Interactive Crate Assembly. They canned Hyenas, and yeah, and imagine this was pretty far along in development because they actually sold Relic, or allowed them to go independent. And that's why a Space Marine 2 isn't a Sega game. Although I think if Sega had held on a little bit longer, it could have been. It's a shame because I would have thought that Space Marine 2 would probably do quite well financially.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that maybe they wanted to focus more on the fantasy stuff because that's what we're selling, which I guess we'll get into in a little bit with the Total War series. But I think their really forte right now is that fantasy right now. So maybe they just, just, like you said, maybe they just did it wasn't doing well and they just wanted to sort of axe Relic. But I'm just happy that Relic is keeping the Blood Ravens alive because 40 because GW sure as hell ain't. That's the thing I love about that. I love the Blood Ravens. They are one of my favorite factions and a lot of my friends' factions. And unfortunately, they like GW's like, nah, let's just stick with the main ones that are boring as hell and the ones that are like generic and boring and not the cool Blood Ravens that have badass armor and stuff like that. Forget that. Now let's go with the blue dudes. It's like, cool, thanks, GW. That's amazingly epic. Thank you for, painting the and they even like painted over the rhino that Relic made for the Dawn of War 2 games, the Blood Ravens. They painted like as the Space Ultramarines. It's like what a downgrade that was. Oh God. And like the thing is that Ultramarines have had a bad name for so many years because of the writing of them is absolutely they're pretty much the Ultramarines in a nutshell, the way they're written is pretty much they smelt their own farts, and they were the best of the Ultramarines, the best of the Space Marines. They were the best. They were the greatest, and that's all thanks to Mr. Matt Ward. And yeah, everyone now hated them, and apparently they're coming back with Rupute Gilliman. But I do not like the blueberry toaster boys. No, thank you.
The Blueberry Toaster Boys. Oh yeah, it's a shame that Relic aren't part of Sega anymore. And I don't know if part of that is because we'll probably get onto that now, Dawn of War 3, which I don't know if you got a chance to play that. I think you said that you
No,
hadn't had a
unfortunately
chance to
not.
play that.
A lot of people really been turning me off and playing it, saying that it wasn't really that great, but I probably you said it was pretty decent.
I enjoyed what I played of it. I can't remember how I got hold of it because I didn't buy it at launch. I think I must have got it as part of a bundle or something. It came out in
Yeah,
2017,
like a humble bundle, you were telling me, I think.
probably something like that. So I thought, well, I played it a bit and I quite enjoyed it. It's a lot more like Dawn of War 1 rather than 2. So I think if you came in expecting Dawn of War 2, then you might have been a little bit disappointed. I mean, it's nothing really super special. It just goes back to those fundamentals. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool. The opening missions are you playing as the Space Marines, but then it alternates over to you playing as the Orcs. And the Orcs were, I thought the Orcs were a ton of fun to play as when you're playing as their commander and building bases and stuff.
Yeah, orcs are really good.
Visually it's pretty good as well. So it's certainly not a bad game, but I think people were definitely disappointed. Coming from 2 to 3, which is a shame because it was the first actual Dawn of War that had been developed under Sega's view, and I think from a sales and critical perception, it was a little bit of a disappointment, which may have had a factor in it.
Yeah, and it's a shame though, because there's really the last. Really, the last strategy, like the real-time strategy game for 40K.
Yeah, it was. Because yeah, we haven't really had one since, but we do have kind of the
We
Creative
have like,
Assembly ones
yeah, we have
that are
some of the
slightly
turn-based
different.
ones, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's probably a good time to get into the Creative Assembly side of things
The
now.
big kahuna ones.
The big kahuna ones. And Creative Assembly really have been one of the MVPs of modern Sega, I think. We haven't talked about them much on the Sega guys, but their Total War series has been delivering like year after year. They're pretty prolific in what they send
I
out.
remember those they've been going for like almost 20 years.
They have
That series
twenty.
is long. I remember seeing Total War Rome and stuff on G4 back in the day, them
Yeah.
covering that. That's how old that like I remember those games dropping. I'm like, dang, these are kind of fun, but I'm not a history buff, so I do not care.
Yeah, Yeah, even back then they were pretty impressive. Like, given the technology at the time, you have these like huge armies just kicking lumps of out of each other. Obviously they've gone all over the place now. You know, you've got everything from Greeks to Romans to Egyptians, British ones. It seems like they should be running out of like historical battles to run out to go into, because they've
Well,
done.
don't worry, because their focus on historical battles has shifted a bit, and they have gone in another direction, which I think has been their main focus really since they started the series, which was, of course, the Total War Warhammer series.
Yeah, and what's quite interesting about that is that they apparently told Sega early t like t 2011 or something that they wanted to make a Warhammer game, and Sega, I think, they negotiated the license from Games Workshop in 2012, which was before they bought Relic from THQ. So Sega must have thought, right, well, they want to make a Warhammer game. We are going all in on Warhammer. We'll buy Relic and we'll just be the Warhammer company. Which is why we now got the
Not a bad idea. They
no,
should
not
have
at
stayed
all.
that way.
Yeah, they should have, and they should have kept Relic. But yeah, they got the Warhammer license, and it took a while. Interesting about Creative Assembly is that they opened up another studio, and I think it's the studio that they opened that are churning out some of the historical ones these days, which aren't getting as well received. But I suppose they just keep that churn going, just keep churning out those games. But the Total War Warhammer games are they're fantastic, and I think they definitely are like the crown jewel in the Creative Assembly. Did you play the first one?
No, I've only actually played three, to be honest with you.
Oh, have you?
But I really do enjoy it. I know that the gameplay really, like, it really feels like the tabletop. Like, I don't know if anybody is if you've actually played the tabletop for the Warhammer Fantasy before.
I've actually not played the tabletop, so I can't compare. But so
But
you're
it
saying
kind of
it actually
feels like
plays like
that.
it.
Basically, what you like, basically, a lot of the battles, like, besides the conquest thing, like when you go into like the battle, it goes into like, oh, you could place your units on the board. You can actually forward deploy some of them, which is kind of an interesting concept because I don't think that's as in Warhammer Fantasy, but it's really keen in 40K where there's units that could basically forward deploy as in instead of standing on the, because there's usually two halves of a board. One half is like the enemy side, one half's yours. You can actually put your dudes in the middle and forward deploy. And it kind of is like that. And then there's the concept of flanking and there's a concept of counter charging and stuff like that. And sort of using certain units to that are more effective against others. And it really captures the actual fantasy board game style, except a lot faster. And you don't have to smell somebody that hasn't bathed in 12 weeks across from you. So there's benefits to that. And also you don't have to paint up your model, so that's also pretty fun. But yeah, I the story at least in three, at least to my knowledge, in three is pretty much apparently the I forgot the name of the Russian dudes that are like a I guess they're a spinoff of the Empire of Man, I believe.
I've not
The
got that far
Russian
into
dudes,
it,
the
but
Cossacks or whatever.
yeah,
I
I mean,
forgot,
it's like.
but
You
yeah.
go.
I think so. Yeah, I said I still am playing through the game, to be honest with you. I'm not really familiar with the fantasy lore, but essentially the Chaos has captured this bear dude or Bellicor, which is the big demon enemy behind me, the big Chaos dude, and everyone wants to get a piece of Bellicor, even the demons, because the demons hate like d certain demons hate each other and they're all against each other. Like you think, oh yeah, all the demons are on the same side. No. They're all tripping each other with butt, like putting their like the cutting everyone's tires, cutting brakes. Like they're just dicking each other over consistently. Like demons are just like they're just tricky people, they're tricky boys. And yeah, like I said, they need to fight. They want to get this giant bear thing. So it's like if we get it from Bellicor, we can be awesome. Be awesome and be amazing. And everyone's literally the entirety of Warhammer 3 is just like fuck Bellicor. That's literally the whole story of that is just fuck Bellicor, which kind of is funny and to me. Like I actually in the same way with Bellicor in the game because he's kind of like he's a fun unit to play on the tabletop, but it's just annoying because he's kind of like required to make demons good. So it's like I don't want to play as main character to be able to make demons good. I just want to play my pink dude slapping people in the face across the
Should
board. Come on.
be a menace. just be a menace and cause chaos, literal chaos.
Exactly. I love that. I love that. But yeah, it's a really fun game. And like getting back on when I was talking, like off that tangent, sorry about that. I'm 40K happened, that happens to me. But yeah, the thing about it is that it kind of captures that gameplay style, which I really enjoy. Like I love that aspect of it, that it feels like the board game, like you're playing it in actually a real time versus a turn-based strategy game. And they have the elements of the conquest mode where it's like, oh yeah, you can take over these things, gank people, build up your forces, fight these other. It's really fun. I really do enjoy it. Like I literally have a skirmish match with people that have been like 60 hours alone just on like on the skirmish missions. I am not joking, by the way. Those things are insanely fun. It's like it's so much fun. Like, and you could pause it too. Like, it's a multiplayer game, you could pause. So definitely recommend checking it out. What's your experience playing it, James? I want to know which or Dan, what's your experience playing it?
Yeah, so I played the first one in 2016 by a friend, and I enjoyed that, and I ended up buying it myself. That's actually the only one I own, is the first one. So I played an awful lot of that. I'm not great at them. I'm not great at these games, but
Oh, don't worry, I'm not either, but I'm having fun.
so I've never been able to progress very far in the campaign. I defaulted to playing the Empire at the beginning, but even that, I was just like getting ganked. So I started playing as the dwarves, and they're a lot easier to play as, and I think their campaign's really fun. I still managed to bankrupt myself while playing recently, but it's great. The first one, I was thinking, because you kind of have your general in there. You can recruit generals, and then they have their armies, and you build your armies up. And you, the comparison I was drawing in my head, revisiting the first one recently, is it reminds me a lot of Dragon Force on the Sega Saturn. Now, they're obviously massively different games, but in that you have your map, which is in obviously in Total War Warhammer, it's turn based, but you have your map with what you all. The places that you've conquered, or your areas that are under your ownership, and you kind of expand, you point your armies to places, you have these huge epic battles with hundreds, thousands of on-screen people battling out, and you have your general that can either sit back, or he can wade in and do like his special attacks and stuff. So it does remind me of Dragon Force on the Saturn in that
Honestly, it
respect, but
does. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. It does remind me a lot of that sort of Dragon Force or Ogre battle. I didn't even think of that. I don't know why that didn't come to my mind. But yeah, the tie into that, though, yeah, it does feel like a natural progression of that. And I wonder if they got that inspiration from actually the Warhammer Fantasy game, like the Japanese, because I know the Japanese also are a big 40K or like a Warhammer fan. So I wonder if they like got that inspiration from the tabletop, because it really feels like you're playing the tabletop game in real time. Like maybe other people, yeah.
in Dragon Force, do you mean?
No, well, I mean that same sort of concept of the of because like when the two cl forces clash, I think you can also select units to be placed in different positions and stuff. So I wonder if that was inspired in that aspect. But yeah, it does feel like the main tabletop, not the forces fighting all together, but the that main thing is really inspired by Dragon Force and those other games, it feels like.
So yeah, the first one is where I've got most experience. I did play the second one again, played it with a friend. First played it, I think it was at Eurogamer Expo when it was kind of pre-release, and it felt like the second one, even though it was just a year later, felt like a big update on the first one. So I didn't end up owning it, but it's from what I played, it's brilliant. And then the third one I played when it came out a couple of years ago, because it came onto PC Game Pass. So I was like, I am all in on that. And again, some great enhancements there. I wasn't able to progress very far, but they all complement each other. I think they're different enough. The first one feels a bit more tied to like Creative Assembly's more historical games, and kind of the battles is from what I'd played so far. It's not quite as epic. Whereas you can get some absolutely epic matches in the second one, and especially the first one with kind of the units that you get and everything. It just seems a bit more, like. It just seems so. It's like the battles are a lot more grand, it felt like, and the tactics and everything are a lot more involved, and all three of them are absolutely spectacular games.
Yeah, highly definitely recommend playing those. Like, I really I enjoy that the aspect of that strategy of it, and I love just actually just playing out the battle instead of just hitting the auto win button.
Yeah, I know, you can sit there and you can just hit the, you get the opportunity to say auto battle, and it's like, no, I'm here for the big battles, man. Although it
Exactly. I want to try ganking people. I want to vote practice. I want to do the side attacks, you know?
that's it. Yeah, I start off my battles, and I like, you can position, like you say, you can position your armies, like your various parts, so like wherever you can on certain aspects of the map. There's limits of it. You can't stick them all the way at the top. You can only stick them, within your predefined area.
Yeah,
But
or
yeah,
the
I like
center ones if
sticking.
it's like cavalry, I think you could put them forward deploying in there.
Yeah, it's like the dwarves have catapults, so you can stick those way back, and they've got massive range. And then you can start, like, if I'm, I think it was like there was an army of goblins I was fighting. So like there was loads of them. So I stuck two factions over on the side. They just charged into something. It's like, all right, flank you.
And just have
Smash.
the catapults slamming them in their
Yeah.
face.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And you can zoom right into the action as well, which is
Giant little
really impressive.
models.
Yeah. Yeah, the detail is fantastic in there. And it's just when you zoom right in, it's just carnage, isn't it? You just see like all these hundreds and
It's
hundreds
all
of
falling over, people flying all over the map.
yeah, just
It's pretty
limbs going
cool.
everywhere. Yeah, and then you can send in your general and do like some sort of big hammer attack or anything or something
Or
like
like give
that.
them the charge, like go fight my allies, kill the enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, or if the or if you when you when you lose like one of your factions, and then you're like the guy in, at least in the first one, just going, your warriors flee, my lord. They're a bunch of cowards.
See, if they were guardsmen, they would just get shot in the face by the commissar.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And as I say, Creative Assembly just do fantastic work. I think they're the unsung heroes of like modern Sega, which is a shame why Sega like called out the European side of like recently for underperforming, because I'm gonna be funny, I think Creative Assembly and to an extent Relic have like carried Sega for a bit, especially like in the early 2010s where Sega were kind of floundering a little bit.
Yeah, I think nowadays a lot of the Atlus stuff is really what's propping them up nowadays,
Yeah.
especially with a lot of the Persona 5. Once that came out, Atlus has just been on the up and
Yeah.
up. I mean, they've had some flounders though. Like apparently, I don't think the Soul Hackers or the new Shin Megami Tensei performed as well as they were hoping.
Yeah, I think Soul Hackers 2 kind of underperformed. I do own Soul Hackers 2. I played that on Game Pass and loved it. I was like, well, I'll buy this one and play it in my own time. And that's a solid game, but I think it got kind of, it's probably one of Atlus's worst reviewed games that they've done since they bought them.
Yeah.
But it's still decent fun. But yeah, it's Atlus tend to be propping up Sega these days, alongside Yakuza and anything by RGG Studio seem to
Yeah,
be
pretty much.
Sega's golden goose. It's like, all these are the new darlings now. Creative Assembly, Relic, you're not doing so. We're going to cancel Hyenas. We're going to sell off Relic, which is a shame, because as we were saying, Relic stuff was brilliant, and stuff that comes out of CA. This Total War Warhammer trilogy is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Like I said, I love the Total Warhammer stuff, and it really helped. Like honestly, it helped bring back fantasy because that, like I said, they canceled fantasy, like the original, like the fantasy battle with the move trade stuff back in 2009 or 2010, I think, and replaced it with Age of Sigmar. But because the
Yeah.
Total War games were doing so good, the demand was so high that they actually brought back the fantasy as called Warhammer: The Old World.
Yeah.
And now they have that going, and I am super pumped because I love that style of gameplay. Like I love the movement trays, the giant battles. Like I mean, I love my objective based board games as much as the other guy, like 40K. But just like the throw the enemies and kill, like oh man, that stuff is so much fun.
Yeah, it's kind of completes the feedback loop then, doesn't it? Because Sega got the Total War license to kind of, obviously it's a marketing tool, isn't it? And of Creative Assembly, obviously big fans. I suppose if you're making that sort of strategy game, you're gonna have probably a background in kind of the tabletop game, so they probably were big Warhammer fans since they wanted to make one. But it's interesting that Sega seemed to have influenced, or Creative Assemblies work has influenced, Games Workshop in kind of reverse. So I suppose, yeah, so you're saying on the back of this now, we're seeing kind of a resurgence in classic Warhammer.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's apparently what I've been hearing is that they haven't performed like gangbusters, but they perform better than GW expected, which I'm really happy about because I love the old world. I am really all in on the demons and that whole
Yeah.
thing. And some of the other factions are cool. Like I'd love to type into Empire of Man because I, as a guard player myself, I am a fan of throwing the hordes of mankind into the meat grinder for the good of humanity. That's my gameplay style that I love. It's so much fun. So much fun throwing guardsmen into guardsmen into the meat grinder to satisfy the bloodlust of the Emperor.
Throw wave after wave of men after them, right, men?
Exactly. And then if they run away, they get shot in the face by a commissar. But if it's the Kriegsmen, it's the opposite. The commissar stops them from doing more damage to themselves. I wanna die.
That's the Empire 101, isn't it?
Pretty much.
You don't die unless we need you to.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's Sega in the present day and Warhammer, some fantastic games there. As you say, they were at the time of recording, I think they still are in the Steam summer sale. I'm not sure if they still will be by the time this comes out, but you
I
probably
think
get a
the sale ended, I think.
oh did
Because
it
my
oh okay
friend, or maybe the ones, because my friend said he wanted to pick up Warhammer 3 to play with me, but he forgot when it was on
oh
sale. So I bought it at full price because my friend wanted to play. I'm like, I'll hop on. And I loved it. I loved, like I said, I love like the fantasy stuff. Or the fantasy battle stuff. I love, like, I mean, as much as Sigmar, because they had Age of Sigmar that came out recently. The
Yeah.
thing is that it just feels like 40K in the fantasy universe, and I don't want to play 40K in the fantasy universe. I want to play fantasy. I want to move things. I want to move giant blobs of people and kill them and kill people. Like, I don't want to sit on an objective and have my guys generate points. I just want to throw them at the dudes and have a nice brawl. That's all I want.
Yeah, it didn't
I'm not
make
a
much
picky
sense
dude.
to me, because you've got 40K, from a gameplay perspective. If you want to play 40K, you play 40K. And then kind of from what I remember of Age of Sigmar, it feels like even the lore leans into kind of the 40K tropes a little bit, which I think classic Warhammer is better when it's its own thing. Like fantasy Warhammer, I mean, is better when it's its own thing,
Yeah.
because that was always been the appeal. The Age of Sigmar stuff was just kind of strange. I mean, I did like the end time stuff. That was cool because, to dealing with the end of the world and stuff. What's not to like about that? But yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the Age of Sigmar kind of thing. I'm glad that the Sega games kind of brought the focus back over to Fantasy Warhammer and its classic guys. I do wonder if we'll see another Total War Warhammer, but I suppose that's when we get onto kind of the future now as to what Sega's future relationship with Warhammer will be. I mean, we've touched on it a number of times already in this chat, just around some of the other fantastic 40K games outside of Sega are. But so there's always going to be loads of media around 40K. They don't mind whoring themselves out, do they, Games Workshop?
Honestly, Games Workshop just lets it happen. They just give licenses out left and right. We could probably propose a 40K game right now, or a fantasy game, and they just give us a license. Be like, here you go, pay the thousands of dollars for this license. Have fun, buddy.
Yeah, and probably because I've been doing some, obviously been looking up some, doing some research for this discussion as well. We're looking for a 40K. Now every ad that I look on my phone is like some 40K app. Like the Play Store on my Android phone is just all like a bunch of Warhammer games. There's so many on there. It's actually
Yeah,
insane.
it's just, here you go. Here's the licenses, all baby.
Yeah, just throwing them out like a deck of cards. But I think what's next for Sega? Nothing's been announced, so it's been a couple of years since we had Total War Warhammer 3. But the rumor is that you shared with me is we're now probably looking at a Total War Warhammer 40K. So I haven't had a lot of I haven't seen a lot around that, but I don't know what you'd seen. You shared that video with me. So it sounds like that's where they're moving to. I wonder when we'll get a kind of an announcement. What do you think about that?
So, for those that don't know, the video that shared with him is by the Poor Hammer podcast. They're a big 40K podcast that really talks about more 40K, more of the gameplay aspects of it, like the tabletop, but they also deep dive sometimes into the other aspects of 40K. And one of them was there was a rumor floating around that apparently 40K is going to be the next installment of the Total War series. They've been doing the fantasy universe for that long, and a lot of people have been hesitant to see how they could play out 40K. And while it does seem kind of a bit complicated, I think they might be able to pull it off, especially if they, reuse some of it. Because apparently that's a rumor, and apparently Total War World War One is also one that's apparently apparently rumors down in the pipeline. And they're probably going to use the same engine with those two games together and maybe focus on more of a shooting aspect of that. Because, I mean, compared to Age of Sigmar, Fantasy, it's usually throwing archers, arrows, throwing stuff, throwing energy balls or whatever. But 40K is bolt guns, like cannons, tanks, like giant. And the things that's easy to switch those out, especially for, World War One troops. Okay, here's a World War One troop. Okay, you're Imperial Guard now with a skin on. That's all they need to do. That's all the guard is. Make the bullets lasers, and like have like giant, instead of the giant bazookas, have them be plasma guns or like missile racks or whatever. But yeah, like I said, it's or last cannons or whatever. But yeah, it's very doable. That's the rumor, is essentially in a nutshell what it's going in. Apparently, that's the direction they want to do. I don't know how many of them they want to do, if they want to make it a multiple thing, but there's really no confirmation besides they're working on it and looking into it. And the rumors are it's going to be sometime next year or the year after, I believe. So it's close. It's pretty close. I think they're going to either do 40, it's either they do the 40K one first or they do the World War One first. And apparently it's going to be a big release from Creative Assembly when they do that.
Yeah, it does feel like they're working on something massive because like the last couple of games were by their sub studio, Creative Assembly Sophia. So like Total War Pharaoh was by the Sophia studio. The Troy one as well, I think, was by a Sophia studio. I think Thrones of Britannia, oh, that was done by them. But there's been a load of them that have been done by the Sophia studio. Hyenas, I think, was done by kind of a sub team, and obviously that whole team was gone. But the main Creative Assembly team are obviously working on something big, and that makes sense. If you're gonna go in on like big markable wars, one. If you want your fantasy one and 40K, absolutely is probably
Yeah,
the way to go.
40K will sell game. Like if they do a 40K Total War Warhammer 40K, that is gonna sell gangbusters. Like, cause not only are you gonna get the people that were like not a fan of fantasy, you'll get the 40K fans, you get the Total War fans, and people will play those games, especially large scale like that, especially how inaccessible the board game can be sometimes for people. The fact that a game that could probably replicate it and be on that level would be amazing, especially if they can take that, the aspect of objective-based combat, where it's like, okay, move them onto this objective, and instead of killing all the enemies, you capture and hold the objective, which would be really cool. Like, it'll be a cool concept to like switch out a little bit, Like, it'd be kind of a cool, difference where it's like, okay, instead of killing everybody on the field, hold the objectives and don't let anybody die until like that, and you can either kill everybody or hold the objectives, which would be really fun. I think that'd be a cool change of pace with those style of gameplays.
I think it could work really well with kind of the way that these games play, moving it to a more objective based game. So that'd be cool. And if it, obviously World War One is extremely marketable as well, and yeah, the technology behind the two could probably complement each other. Make a good point about swapping the skins. You just swap the skins, the properties are probably around about the same. Obviously I don't know what you'd swap a Titan in for in World War One, but But
No, but I meant just like for the Imperial Guard specifically, just the whole, because they're pretty much World War One sort of aesthetic anyways. Just make the tanks a little bit more girthy, add las cannons, change the different things, and you're good. The Titans they'll have to remake, but like there's a lot of stuff they could like sub in for the Imperial Guard. But I guarantee if they did do that, I would have to say that if they had one army that would be instant, it'd be Imperial Guard. They literally could not like. I think they would lose people. They didn't have Imperial Guard as like one of the first starting armies, and of course, the Blueberry Space Marines and probably something like Chaos Space Marines, and they could probably do an easy. Oh yeah, take Chaos Demons from the fantasy and put them in 40K. There you go. There's your Chaos Demons. There we go. Now we get like four or five different factions, DLC stuff for that, and I think it'd be worth it.
I'd imagine that they'd probably reuse things like the orcs. They could probably take the orcs out of fantasy, just modify them a little bit, and you've
Give
got
them
your
some
assets for,
guns.
just give them some guns, a few cybernetic implants, let them, will some strange old technology in together. And I don't know if they've got access to the assets from the Dawn of War games, but I think it would probably be, you're right, it's probably going to be kind of Imperium based, because that's one, it's reliable. As much as we lament the fact that there's so many Space Marine games, that is probably the most marketable one. You couldn't really make a Total War Warhammer 40K game without that faction. But I think you could you'd have the humans in there, you'd have the orcs, and I think it'd be cool to get a bunch of other races in there as well, especially if you could start playing as them, and start like a campaign with them. That'd be really cool. So yeah, I've got high expectations for this one. I think it'd be really cool. I think I'd be there day one. I imagine you would be as well.
Oh, I'd be there day zero. I'll pre-order it. I'll straight up just say it. I'm pre-ordering as soon as that pre-order button comes up. I'm hitting the buy button. I don't even care how much of a consumer I am with that. Like the thing is that I love 40K. I love 40K. It's a fun game. Like I am while I just love all the cool stuff. I love the Imperial Guard. I will buy it day one. I'll straight up say it. I'll buy it day zero. I'll pre-order that thing. But I'm there with you. I really think that the Total War series lends itself to essentially get into that 40K and have a natural progression to get into there. And I think, maybe if it's well enough, they could also do an Age of Sigmar. I mean, I wouldn't play it because I don't like Sigmar, but I imagine people would enjoy it. Like, hey, I'm not a fan of Sigmar, but I respect people that are like, I don't like 40K, but I like Sigmar. That's fine. That's fine. Like I said, I don't want people to play like double up on objective-based games. If you want to play Sigmar and do that instead of 40K, because that it's fine with me. I'm the opposite. I'm like it's one or the other. That way, you fantasy Warhammer or Age of Sigmar, and then Warhammer Fantasy, which is a fine option as well. But yeah, I think that'd be great. I'm really excited to see if the rumors are true for that. I am leaning towards it probably is, especially since an entire podcast did a whole rumor video on it. And really, there's three Warhammer Fantasy games. I think they can, I think they want to take a risk. I think they want to try something different because they've done these games like year after year for, was it since 2016?
Yeah, 2016. So t t yeah, Warhammer 1 was 2016. Warhammer 2 was 2017. The third one came out in 2022, which is why I think that it feels like a substantial upgrade on the first two, especially. Definitely coming from the first one to the third one, it's a massive upgrade. But yeah, they were kind of all in on the fantasy, Warhammer Fantasy, when making those Total War games. So it makes sense that, they're like, well, we're done with fantasy now. Let's tackle 40K. So that's the thing is, you say that it makes you sound like a consumer saying that you'd pre-order it, but the thing is, Creative Assembly are such a fantastic team for Sega. They constantly deliver, so they're going to deliver. You know that at least from a lore perspective, 40K is a fantastic property. So why wouldn't you pre-order it? I think there's very few games where you guarantee quality, but I think that would probably be the case with this one. I can't see how it would not be a great game.
Yeah, I mean they
It's how
have to
can they
be.
fail?
And watch it be the worst game of all time like years later. We'll be on if it turns out to be a piling steaming dog pile of dog shit, we'll be back on the podcast and we'll talk about how it was a failure. But honestly, I do agree. I think that at worst it'll be like mediocre, like at least like a 7 out of 10, which I can live with. I just want to play my 40K games. Like I'm not a picky dude. I just want to move my dollies across the board. I just want to, shoot stuff with, giant space lasers. I want to throw buys at stuff, and I want to fight people with demons. Like I'm a very simple man. I don't have a lot of like massive things I want in my life. I just want to kill things with numerous copious amounts of people and or demons, or both.
Well, that's the appeal, isn't it? I think the thing with Warhammer, both fantasy and 40K, is that they are just so vast, and there's just so many ways that you can use those properties, which is kind of why we see all the different games, is because there's so many different ways you can take it. The universe is so large, and there's just so many ways that you can take it. That's why I think you've got so much DLC with some of the Dawn of War and Total War Warhammer games. There's an awful lot that you can do with it. So yeah, I would like to see more than just kind of the 40K game. I hope that Sega can lean into it a bit more. It's in the from 2013 to 22. That's those 9 years. There were some fantastic games in there. It's been a while since, it's only been a couple of years since Total War Warhammer 3, but it'd be so cool to have, sort of Warhammer 40K, and maybe a couple of sequels, and a couple of maybe something else from that. I know we've got Space Marine 2, that's not a Sega game, but I'd like to see Sega lean into it a bit more, because I think it has been a success for them. I mean, even in the recent Steam Summer Sale, they were very much, hey, here's our Sega Warhammer games, get stuck in. And I think they're still big movers for them. So I do want to see Sega lean into the property a little more, because like you, obviously, I don't play the tabletop at all, but from the game standpoint, I love the games, I love the lore, and yeah, obviously it's Sega, so I want to see those two things coalesce a lot more.
Hey, like if I when I make that out to, when I make it out to the UK, we'll go to Warhammer World. I'll teach you how to play Warhammer 40K,
Yeah.
or fantasy, whatever one you want to learn. I'll make the time. I'll put my army. I'll somehow find a way to put it in my suitcase without breaking, and I'll bring two of my armies, and we'll play a game. I'll get you playing the tabletop. Your wife will hate me sooner than later.
Well, I need to paint my Space Marine. I've got one Space Marine that I got recently, because they were like, they give away a free Marine at Games Workshop. So I need to visit my local one and get you get a free painting course with it as well, if you want to get into it over here.
Yeah, do it. It's a lot of
So I
fun.
need
It's relaxing.
so I need to do that. I know that it's not a cheap hobby. I was looking at some sets recently, but I would love to get into it, because it's really cool. I mean, I don't know how you do it. That's you've got like me building one army is one thing. You've got how many armies are you building?
Right now, as of this, the thing is that it depends. So I might have an additional three army additional sorry additional three armies if one of my armies goes away, but as of this video, like as of was it 2024 in July, I have Imperial Guard, I have Chaos Demons, I have Thousand Suns, I have Chaos Space Marines, and I have Tau. So I have five armies right now. If Chaos Demons were to go away and they get rolled into their prospective Chaos armies, I will have four, but then I get World Eaters, Death, and Death Guard as well, and then Emperor's Children once that drops. So I'll have
Wow.
about seven if but that. But right now I have five. I want to. Oh, sorry, I have six. Sorry, because I have Imperial Guard, Chaos Demons, Thousand Suns, Chaos Space Marines. I said Chaos Demons and sorry, Tau. So five right now. Yeah, five. I kind of want to get rid of Tau, and I want to go down a little bit, but. Right now, I have about four or five. The key to finding, though, is that I'll let people know. Buy used. Buy used is the biggest thing. Find people that are selling deals. Like, these aren't like video games. That's why I like it. You can get good deals on stuff that's used. Like, you're not spending buku bucks on it. You can actually may find these either already painted, half painted, already primed. And you could paint them up yourself, and they're already pre-built and stuff like that. So there's a lot of cheats you can do to get the armies. Like I literally put together an army from November until like March of this year. That was Imperial Guard, a fully painted 2,000 point list, like as in fully painted. Like that's the game. 2,000 points is the standard amount I usually play for games. But yeah, you could do it. Like it's possible. Like and as long like my trick is buying used. Like go on OfferUp. I don't go to boot sales, car boot sales. I imagine the UK, like Warhammer stuff just falls off trucks. It's probably like it's pouring out into the streets like waves. So you probably have an easier time to find it in there than in Arizona. But buy it used, go to game stores. There's some game stores have things called Merc Marks where they sell like used figures. That's my key to getting to 40K is do that. And actually my biggest thing is find an army you really like to play, like, and stick with like one or two. Like, don't do what I didn't buy five because you're a freak and like want to play different things. Like, find out what works for you. Watch like battle reports, watch like people, watch the lore. If you like it and dedicate to that, and then just play them. And yeah, maybe your army might suck for a couple, like an edition or like a couple months, but Warhammer's been doing better than that, better now with that, or for a Games Workshop. So you might have a bad army for like a mu couple months, but it'll get better. They'll buff it or something.
Cool.
So
No,
that's just my
I'm
advice.
definitely.
Sorry.
I know. I know. I'm definitely going to. Because if you buy used, do you I suppose the only thing I think about buying used is you get that they most of the time pre-painted. I suppose you can repaint them, can't you?
Yes, yeah.
But then I suppose if you, if, I'm terrible in terms of drawing, painting, etc. So maybe me being
Yeah.
getting pre-painted might be better.
And
So
you can
we'll
always
see.
hire people or just play it gray. Like, I know a lot of people that just play the gray
Oh,
models.
really?
I know a dude that literally just plays in gray. It doesn't matter to me. And I don't think anybody really has an issue with it. As long as you don't play tournaments, it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't think any reasonable person, like, just make sure that your stuff is built actually and has what it says it has. But yeah, I usually prefer painting because I think it looks cool. I
They
just like
look
it.
really cool.
Yeah, like I said, I love like
Yes.
my guards. Yeah, like this, like just
Yeah.
putting them on a little board, have them fight everybody else. It's a lot of fun. I really love having them all painted and have my little dudes just like shoot laser beams at people.
Yeah.
Pew pew pew. They're just fighting. And like I said, and the number one goal is do not take the game seriously. I call it dollies. I do not take it seriously. Do not like become a freak about it. Just have fun playing it. And like remember at the end of the day, even if you get wiped, it's just the fucking two dollies on the board. It does not matter. Your life will go on. Like go home to your wife and have a nice time. Like have dinner and just move on. A lot of people take the game way too seriously. And also wash your damn armpits, people that play. Please, for the love of God, take showers.
Oh, you sound like Guile from Street Fighter there. You know, you're winning your Warhammer game, and it's like go home and be a family man.
Exactly. Like,
Here we
yeah.
go.
It's like, yeah, you can get tabled and beat up by some dude that's just meta chasing and playing the most broken combos. At the end of the day, it's like he has that. You're gonna go home and kiss your wife and have fun and see your kids and not think about it. And he's just gonna theorycraft lists, so. And that's the way I look at it. I try not to take it too seriously. I just want to have fun and, play some board games with people. And the most important thing is socially interacting with people. Don't like,
Yeah.
like have fun, talk to people, make friends. That's the point of these games. It's actually not
Yeah.
about winning or losing unless you're a tournament player, which I guess technically it does. But
Well, yeah.
still, the thing is paint, make it look cool. And like the greatest thrill of the game is not me winning. If somebody comes like, man, those are cool. Those are really cool painted. Did you paint those? Or, oh, hey, I love the way your army looks. Or, oh, cool. I love this faction. That's literally the greatest high I've ever gotten in games. And what I've always remembered is somebody come and saying how much they like the paint job or how much they like the army. That is why I love playing Warhammer. Just that alone, that high is amazing.
Yeah, no. I think one of the other appeals to me is just immersing yourself in that tabletop world. You know, with everything. You know, you've got your characters on the board, and you're immersing yourself in that world and that lore, and you're just enjoying it with other people, like in the physical form as well. So, I think that really appeals. Kind of like as you say, it's got its roots in like D&D in a way, and it's a tabletop game, and that's always appealed to me as well. D&D is another thing I'd have loved to get into, but I think who was I talking? I think it's talking to my middle kid wanted to do kind of tabletop. So maybe that's going to be a backdoor into kind of getting both of us into Warhammer one way or another. But that would be cool. But
Honestly, it's a great father and son thing too. If your kid's old enough to do that, I think it actually is a lot of fun and it's a good bonding experience. Like I've seen a lot of people bring their kids over and play the game, and it's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's cool to talk about the factions, talk to somebody and like talk back and forth and like talk
Yeah.
shop of what works, what doesn't. And yeah, and like I said, I love it because you even brought up, I love taking being able to take myself out of the like I don't even bring my phone most of the time. I have my index cards and all my sheets. I'm in the board game. My phone is away, and I have 50 missed calls because and like 20 Discord notifications. But it's like, I'm sorry, this is my Warhammer day. My focus is the enemy and my board. I'm not focused on anyone but that situation. That's what I'm immersed in. And I just I it's like a three, 4 hours of me doing that, and it honestly is really refreshing. I really feel refreshed after that.
Yeah, the focus is on slaying the false god.
And yeah, exactly. The false emperor, death to the emperor.
Oh, and yeah, so Pat, thanks so much for coming. This has been I've really enjoyed this discussion. As I kept saying to you, I'm really looking forward to this one. It's been a blast. Definitely we're gonna have to hook up on Dark Tide. So
Definitely Dark
we
Tide,
definitely
Warhammer, Total War 40K.
yeah. When that comes out, we'll both be there day zero, as you say. I'll be pre-ordering.
Yeah.
So we'll both be you we'll have to do another Warhammer focused episode again when that comes out to talk about our thoughts on that new Warhammer 40K game. So you know this
Absolutely.
will
I am 1,000% down. Anytime you want to talk Warhammer, I am ready to go. Fantasy 40K, as long as it's not Sigmar, because I know nothing about that game, but that universe that I can buy. As long as those two, I'm good at those, just not Sigmar. I guess Sigmar's cool too. I play Warhammer Sigmar, whatever, Total War Sigmar when that comes out or whenever.
Yeah, cool. And we'll see what the future of Sega and Warhammer brings. But you can always find Pat on the Shiro Show and the Shiro website at SegaSatanShiro.com. So thank you very much for watching. I hope you've enjoyed this one, guys. If you don't know Warhammer, hope that this brought things to life a little bit. Hope you've enjoyed the topic because it's a little bit different to what we normally talk about. We usually focus on kind of 90s Sega, but I think that Pat enjoying his dollies there. I think that
It's
talking
magnetized,
about
don't worry.
yeah, I think that looking at modern Sega, this is a very big part of modern Sega today. So I think hopefully you've enjoyed this topic. If you've enjoyed it, don't forget to give us a like or a subscribe, and don't forget if you can become a member, which starts from as little as 99p. Our premium members that we'd like to give a shout out to for this episode are Andy Mackey, Peter 007, Tom Fun, P-Well, Resident SD, Craig Williamson, Ian Mikowski, Stiff Peaks, G-Man, Sega Saturn Lad, and of course, the Sega Saturn Shiro crew. So until
Always love
next time,
supporting you. Love you guys.
yeah, love you too. We're all one big Shiro family now. Boom. And
Definitely.
until next time, we'll see you on the Sega side.